Can I play one more thing?
Yeah, great.
Alternative Mount Rushmore of great black, difficult, megalomaniacal, tending towards megalomaniacal musicians under 5'5". So Prince, Miles, James Brown, and Cecil, you know, and that would be the new Mount Rushmore.
We could Photoshop that probably pretty easily.
I think it would be cool.
Good evening, comrades. You are in tune to WGXC 90.7 FM in Hudson. This is the Poet Radio program. My name is Chris, and we started this month's edition off with what was a very special occasion that occurred 2 or 3 years ago now, engineered, really orchestrated by my guest this month, Fred Moten. He and I were in a program, leading a program at the Whitney Museum together. It was the day or two after Prince had died. And at the end of our session, which was a discussion about Cecil Taylor, Fred had his iTunes open because we'd been playing Cecil's music and poetry, and he threw on Prince, and the entire audience got up, and we had a spontaneous dance party, which you can find, I think, up online somewhere on Twitter. The Whitney posted it. It was beautiful. And I'm thinking, Fred, that thinking back, we've known each other now 15, 20 years, seeing each other here and there, but our encounters have been like a series of special occasions for me. I mean, the night I met you, we ended up at the home of Mary Baraka.
Yeah.
Then we did this wonderful Cecil Taylor open plan exhibition and performances and whatnot together. And most recently, we were down in North Carolina for the Mackey session. So it's it's great to have these experiences with you. Fred is a professor at NYU, a very prodigious poet, and a critic So fabulous to have you on the program.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here. It's a pleasure.
Well, you bounced around quite a bit over the past few years. You were, I think when I met you, you were in Riverside or L.A., and mm-hmm. I know you were in Durham and New York.
Well, when we first met, I was at NYU about, it's 20 years ago now, and so now we're back at NYU again, so it's kind of full circle now, but, you know, we met in a way before we met because through Nate Mackey in his journal Hambone,
that's right,
which published your great interview with Cecil Taylor, Being Matter Ignited.
That's right.
And for, you know, there's a kind of small itinerant, you know, multiply sited monastery of kind of weird people like us who love the music and poetry and those intersections of the music and poetry that people like Nate Mackey and Amiri Baraka have highlighted and introduced us to. So, yeah. So when those of us who are in that group hear about an interview like the one you did, all of a sudden we know we have another friend. So yeah. I feel like we were friends even before we met because of that interview.
That's sweet to hear. I mean, the whole thing was just a mighty fortunate on my part. I'm just to end up in the same town, living in the same town independently, not even going to school as Nate and learning about his work was completely, you know, unexpected and life-changing. And the way I thought of this after a while, once I got up the courage to befriend Nate, or I had something I thought he might be interested in, and had read his books and whatnot, it became this Bedouin butterfly brother sisterhood kind of thing. And there's a few people in this cultish type sphere. I know it's not really cultish, but you know, it is sort of off to the fringe, certainly compared to the mainstream.
It's occultish, you know.
So. Occultish, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So let's see. I have a few things in mind that I want the audience to hear, but we're going to focus today's program on new sections and a little bit on some of the previously published sections of the Field Trio. Do you want to say a few words about what you're doing there?
Well, originally, the Field Trio was meant to, I don't know if it's a tribute or a copy or a recording or something, but it's certainly after and under the influence of one of Cecil Taylor's great ensembles, which is called the Field Trio, you know, with him on piano and also doing poetry and dance, and great bass player William Parker and a great drummer Tony Oxley. And they, a lot of their work was recorded by this label called FMP in Berlin, and put out as a box set called Two Teas for a Lovely Tea. And it's like 10 CDs. And I just was immersed in and studying that music, I guess you could say. And the Field Trio kind of came about as a function of trying to work and write sort of under the influence of that music. And,
and the cultural aspects of the life behind the music,
yeah,
right? Because that's what really comes through.
Well, the music is the making of the music, you know. It is obviously the sound that emanates from that making is beautiful, and when it's preserved and shared, it also is it contributes to the making of something else, you know. But but in my mind, I think I keep coming back to that phrase, even if I'm not quite sure what it means. But the music is the making of the music, not the product, but right. The making, and that's social life, and so I wanted to try to get involved in the social life from which the music emerges.
Now, you know, poems that emerge from painting or visual art. They talk about that as ekphrasis. Mm-hmm. But is there do you know of a word that is used when music is the, you know, the driving force behind the writing?
I really don't know if I'm sure there's a word, you know, and somebody whose Greek is better than mine, right, and mine, of course, is non-existent, probably could tell you what the word is or make one up for us right quick. But
well, there is melopoeia, okay, but that's not. But that's not really the same thing. I mean, that's the connection between sound or music and language.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering.
Maybe ekphonic or
ekphonic.
I don't know. Or I don't know. You know. It's funny. I have a really a good friend who's actually at the Nate Fest at the Mackey Sessions and read some stuff and helped to organize it. You know, Jay Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a beautiful kind of, he's a theologian, and his Greek is existent, you know. And I'm even thinking of the word existence, you know, that ek, the E-K or E-X, which is sort of the prefix that signifies something which is both related to its root, but also out from its root, separate from that root in a way. And for him, that ek is all part of the... For him, the key word is ecclesiastical, or because of the church, what it means to be out from the church in a certain kind of way. I mean, it's a anyway. I'm just blathering, but the point is that even it goes back to what we were talking about before, that what's outside of the music turns out to be also at the same time the essence of the music, and what people think of as outside of the music as being the social or the sociological, as opposed to the text or as opposed to the actual sort of phonic substance. But it's the substance of the phonic substance comes from outside of it. It comes from what we do. It comes from hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the food we eat, and it comes from the people that we're with and what we do with those people, you know, and also what we do to those people, what has been done to those people, you know. It's it bears all that history.
So. Right. I think what I'll do right now is we'll play an excerpt from your reading of the book at the Whitney Museum in 2016. This is part of the Cecil Taylor Open Plan exhibition. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about how that poem is developed after hearing this.
Performers feel each other differently, as material things that never happened, in persistent substance in their risen cities, even if there's no escape. Their training in certain clinical tendencies, or in the general structure of being a problem, because of the pivot they never disavowed in thrownness, begins the world where we are falling down together in an accident we dream. A little section between one, not one and two. The impurity that found themselves. Original derivative and fresh outside, at home. Before the fact, a little section eight. The upstairs row efficiency with a swimming pool. A little section sight, and look who's coming. It's the world's corrosion. The residual mirror and the drag behind it. The hesitate buzz in the interval on the bias at the zoning variance, juke manic, gongs punctuated garment at the hearing for you to disappear from running this right here, from running from asking body made, this ready made question is a kind of running from. Like hoppers paid by fleeing without paying. From looking from another world, who settled choirs, them Harpers, Miss Bama, unowned in one another, round, unled. I pay attention so I won't appear, bottlenecked, Wachovia tracked, with a notice on my door about putting notices on doors. Eastman and Jamal had these evil niggas secret meetings in Buffalo. But on the run, but not for me. How far away with the sentence can you go, he said. I can go for life, he said, to the enclosure in her collection, where love is a stranger in her lost mother's regulated membership. Social death is a house party for smart people, for holy fools in Wilmington and the Eastern Cape, because monks refuse at rest at study in silence in the desert snow, and then say, come again, come on, get it, which is prettier than all the world. And Jerome's head, which is another rose, and sweet basil of Caesarea, which reminds me of the way Sal said, this is my pizzeria, against his own rule and love, and say again and again, and then say, come again. Security is sober in his black suit and military brevet. He had a chance to go to Germany, already in Panama, but his time out from that fruited, watchful movement is cordial to the infestation of the neighborhood. His creditors drive by with delicate and speed, past Iglesia Pentecostal Shalom, whose image is held by pikes for the black Jews of El Salvador in the front yard barbecuing. It's like a house party for fast, irremedial social life. Then the pedal is released. In studio, at Sam Cooke's theory of yesterday, till we get out with nothing in reserve, read on sending till you're on your way, and I'll rub you till you get that little curve to speak in tongues. This contact till the single mind go haywire slid, like that dance his boy kept trying to teach Gail Sayers in Wichita, but he couldn't do it till that time in Philadelphia, when the stone got rolled away from under Mother Bethel, and a pan with the grease still warm, and a mandolin, and Brandon LaBelle, and the Bluebells, and Big Maybell, and Maybell Carter running ever since, as smooth off course on Franklin Field, in the edge's miracle cutback, like a school of arrangement from the territory. Braxton switches and railroad ties with arrangement from the territory. The magic words machine and ghost computable numbers in my head. Earpiece made of depth charge. A piece of brick in the rocket in my head. The McNair Scholar's Talus song up in my head of switches. Did she wave in the air of switches? That song of rockets, it pierces every bone. Our tune thorn runs through ground rent and museum to come from as John Acomfort's hands, his dial-toned value, his pipe shop songs for not beginnings open in to illustrate our curiosity, our lalia, our lavalale fiesta, our hotmail, our Pan-African machine, our birds in hand, our burning, our Birmingham, our Birmingham, our echo. Where equivalence breaks down in song switches, whose obscenity is our drag, our intersection, our bringing out the grainy motet in us with an Elgin movement till the citizens rise up in Fumi's remix. Nobody can see inside her view. To get down for an instrumental song, a stretch of 6.2 or 6 or 7 that won't amount as veering come back to life in a grammar of being suffered. Like the one who flies apart in the Matthew Price and the beautiful black blonde thing of Destiny Birdsong.
We're back here on Poet Radio, February 2019. My guest today is Fred Moten. We're recording this segment at his apartment in New York City, and it's great to be here and great to be with Fred always. So we've just listened to some of the poem, the Field Trio poem that was published. Who published that book?
Letter Machine.
Edition. Letter Machine. Yeah. So the field. I was. It was delightful to go to this event in Durham in the Mackie Sessions. You did a reading with Ed Roberson there, like another fantastic undersung poet, in my opinion. And then you get on stage and you're extending the Field Trio. Is that something you took on because you just liked the style of it, the way that the poems seem to roll out in these like really massive constellations of of reference points of a focused ideology, not all over the place that way, but you know, it's something you feel comfortable with. Kind of paint, they're kind of tribute poems in a way. I mean, there's like this awareness / tribute in there.
Well, I think what has happened over the past, you know, 20, 30 years of writing is, you know, that the, you know, there's sort of two tracks, you know, and one was critical writing and the other was poetry. And I never had the intention of those tracks converging. And I don't think that they have converged, but I do think that over the course of time, they're sort of asymptotic. They're very close to one another now in the work I'm doing. And I think the place where they're closest together, the real sort of asymptotic region of that is in the middle section of the Field Trio, which is called Come On, Get It.
Yeah, Come On, Get It.
And so what I realized in working on some new stuff over the last couple of years is that I wanted to extend Come On, Get It. I wanted to... It's an open sort of work, and it's in sections, and the first 12 sections are in the middle of the Field Trio. And what in this new book that's coming out next year called All That Beauty, it picks up Come On, Get It from section 14.
And that's what you were reading in Durham.
And that's what I was reading in Durham, sections sort of 14 through 20.
Well, the section... Yeah. That we just listened to from the Whitney was from Come On, Get It.
Yeah.
And then you step out, and the thing the listeners, I mean, I said this as constellations, that may not be the right word, but there are so many. I mean, just like the first few minutes of the Durham reading, you're referring to Prince, Zora Neale Hurston, Toni Morrison, Darwish, Mary Lou Williams. So there's a lot of energies that come into this and say something. That say something.
13. This is the world, and here I am, and as I am, but not at all. The work is all, and not at all, and all in all, and all in nothing. And Prince says, please come from nothing, from all of Zora and all of Dara. The world is dry land. Earth is water. Our regular shit is muddy and irregular. Our shit is shit in this regard. Regardless, we started walking the floor of the sea to turn it over, plowing the muck, low country, just like mules of the leafy green, sempiternal and sodden underground, thinking the sudden thickness of our steps, infused with periodic swimming to get the air we can't breathe. Saving breath in the muddle of our passage, as Mullen says, or been fixing to say. Fixing, we say like fitting. Imagine a little swelling of the space after the consonant, just a little bit broader time before the X turns to a T, which is implied, then silenced, then acts that same little hollow before the end, because the end won't come. Then one last breath and keep writing that shit underneath the floor as our commune. The heavy step of getting down taps lightly in makeshift repetition. This constantly coming back down beat, embosomed in unslit density, recessive unrest in black bottom. The silky lyric viscosity of how we move held down, so that all we can do is take the leg, fling limb in contact, play moss or ball just like the common amputee, as cool as the other side of the silty pillow. Our shit is irregardless in this regard. That anti-citational burst is the book of life, and all we got to do is come out to show them we ain't got to show you shit. We're posthumous and prenatal. The shit is posthumous and preternatural. In the muck, the deep on shore, waiting, bathing, we laugh to keep from laughing like a tremendous submachine. The earthiness of life is irreducibly moist. Digging is a kind of diving. Having turned to the turn, we see that shit. We see the shit. We see our shit. and keep our head above water so we can dive, did. An amphibian, unarmored, adrift, underderived from a prehistory of fallenness, black life is wet, like when Nate tends to certain fluidities of gait, but gracefully mud-stuck in the brutal clearing of land, unforgetting the river's memory, like Morrison says in Mississippi, like Sine says when the escapist sings Rose at summer while singing I Never Learned to Swim, while swimming down a broken street. We're whales, and he don't know how we embrace, submerged as Mary Lou and world as Darwish. What's it feel like to see through blackness, mixing singing and drowning, sounding and dancing, but hesitating forever to be a signal or a judge? This they asked on holiday, in protest of themselves, surrounded by themselves in bolts of blue, though that honorable fabric don't feel so good. Whiteness is the set of interpersonal relations. The interpersonal is an intrapersonal fantasy. The intrapersonal is an impersonal fantasy. The impersonal fantasy of the intrapersonal is your picture, imagination and the law of solitude. On the other hand, in which this same hand is held off blue in extrapersonal folding, the image of hands held in folding, sociality, blackness, is unavailable, but the tangle, sociality, blackness, infuses every image. My black death is my debut, my stole, done up in blueprint blue. It sure looks good on you. It just don't feel so good to disappear in a loose arrangement of flowers. Slave narrative ain't the genre in which one gives an account of slavery in oneself. Slave narrative is the disappearance of oneself and the diffusion of slavery in the giving, which can't be accounted for of the account, sounding drowning's loose arrangement. Just be making something all the time so you can use it to be making something with somebody all the time. Maybe the distinction is between empathy and empathy, a one emerging from a point of view, the other occurring in shatter and entwine, Tyrian, Tarian, but which knows which is which? Maybe it all goes back to that same black Athenic vehemence and passion, an infeeling of outness sung for the caravan. She from around the way of ain't no way and ain't no nonviolent way to look at it. The camera pans down, moves down, spiraling into the wine and urine stained hallway. And what the camera moves toward as I, a hand that somehow was and is the camera, the hand's gesture at and with in all this beauty is the camera's motion, is having fallen, in fallenness is all that beauty. Lorenzo Moten, Humanity's Seat, 3rd and 8th, Tuesday, Thursday, April 18th, 2017, 14. The smile of life is a blackbird. The blackbird is the creator of a happy living. You see the sun, a garden, a river. A blackbird shall be seen. A blackbird brings joy to the world. Black is the base of a drawing and an art piece. Black is the color of the sky when stars shine. Black is my culture and my color. White is the set of interpersonal relations. A tractor beam for the placement of earth. Miscreants trying to put where they live in their pockets. As we have not and we are not, but we share space-time sheer and shards, du noir of the lived experience to mess up the genuine article. Resistance is an atmospheric condition whose relation to power, which is derivative of resistance, is derivation itself. Derivation turns relation inside out. Preservative, explosive, unrestricted endogamy, like a ship upon the sea. We tend to think of anti-blackness as the denial of personhood to black persons. It's also the imposition of personhood on blackness. It's raining men, and I wish it would rain, but looking back on when I was a little nappy-headed boy, back when we entered black study, my feelings begin to get their exercise elsewhere along the road to my disappearance. Is there an etymological and then perhaps conceptual connection between a parent and a parent? So chill, so beautiful you let me disappear. Rhythmic placelessness is our garden and folding, bending, and crumpling. Back to living again with its inborn recursion is prolegomenon to any future metaphysics, or a metaphysics for a preface that can't stop coming. We share the preservation of placelessness under the duress of placing, to be put in place and kept in place, to be conferred a place and to have it, to own it, to try to keep it, to have a body imposed upon one as one's place, one's simultaneous foundation and incarceration in denial of N plus one, is monocultural sugar for your golden bowl. Our milpa, all out from and all up under and all over all and all of anyone's ownership of solid subdivided ground, turns transubstantiation co-substantial. Comida, comovida, that's not your body, that's my body. And she almost says, she all almost says, as they go all fallen, all falling out together, the dislocation and differentiation of the mass, the celebration of the mess in mass displacement, the unruly animonastic dispersion and cenobitic diffusion, and as such, in all its deformative force, the preservative placeless place, the gateless bloodstained gate, who says black women say they hear their babies they can't have, be trying to say. The view they walk, vestibular blur, vestimulant mule, the vestibular, the mule bone blue, deacon blue, which the soloist, who is not one, impersonates as a circular thrill of floating recircular field. Let our flesh be shared, shard, sheer. It's hard, damn, it's quick incarnate incompleteness. The thing Ra calls the event of the Negro is the sign of reviled, refused, recombinant generality. The sheer Ellingtonia wrapped around the wooing presence of the absence in the instrument, which is there in the presence of the instrument, which is there in the elegant recess of the arc surrounding deep in the edge of sounding, some of them asking in a migrant chord's embrace about release, some possible 1-2 that won't take anybody's fixed position. It's some degenerate, satin generativity. Ra says individuation and the individual is not just not one. They are more generally split and supernumerary. Some kind of para-individuality. An impaired individuation whose design is pointing toward a self whose business is in the street. Open, processual, but dignified at the gig, with that fly-ass gig bag. Ra sighs, signs, intellect in action, sighing a favorite phrase of Du Bois playing, impersonating, in an open set of open sets of unsettled, unsettling breathing, handed sheaths, as something other than himself, which is as it should be, which is how he is, his continual calling us out our name, in love with how we open up somehow sometimes, rubbing something in and out of the way of things, copula all out of place, portable as the sound we see in the surround, Ra says, as he always be saying, displacing, celebrating that we a mess. What if we mess it all up? Then you can't tell us how to use it. What if the umbrella underneath which individual and individual, singular and multiple, severable and asunder, don't quite live, is the merely conceptual condition of separation, which feels so good when you rub up on it that pulse comes to an end in sheets of rain and killing moon and thin derivative? Then you can't tell us how we're wrong. What if the relation between, which is the place between placelessness, timelessness, and inseparability, is no count after all, like BB's unbearable phrasing on How Blue. Can you get to that, sister? Can time travel on this train? Then maybe vision is the hidden scandal, proto-Indo-European root wade to separate, proto-Indo-European root vade to see, as if to separate is to see, as if separation is at first an ordering of the seen that is more fundamentally an ordering and seeing. What if to think in disorder, like Ra, like Denise's song flute, is to think outside ordered seeing? The sound of that dropped H resplendent in Hester, regiven by brother. What if this interplay of ordering and seeing is solitary confinement? What if disorder is having a party in the givenness of the party? Ra plays the companionship of sentient flesh, thinking in disorder, and experience in sunlit placelessness till we're all the way out our damn minds in another storybook. If the problem is the maintenance of separation, where you are seen, I see you, happy now, then saving is the blur that movement makes and not arriving. Ra thinks the eventual thing as irrevocable passage through embodiment, as imposition and theft, the trace of the thing in nothingness, the nothingness giving withdrawal from thingliness, where grace is constant, radically anarchic groove and furrow. Perhaps in this regard, bodies are just remnants of calculation left to the wind of their own captured fading. It's like a dam, or a diked up diktic rabbit in Beverly Farms, hoping to be cooked by Beverly Corbett, but subject to the subject's description of subjective experience, which is lonely at the base of a tree and never noticed, being a bee rabbit, and silent at the next cipher, thereby constraining us to picture and enumerate the subject of experience at the intersection of the individual and the individual. Is it a rabbit or a duck? Door open or closed? Fast or thin? Nah, just this and that cloud, not in between us. Us, mother. All and authentically what? This? That beauty.
That was the opening 15 minutes or so of Fred Moten's September 2018 reading at the Mackey Sessions in Durham, North Carolina. We'll be back with the second part of that reading after this break. You are in tune to Poet Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Well, you've just been listening to Fred Moten's, I guess we can't call it an epic poem quite yet, but amazingly lengthy serial poem under construction. Come on, get it. And so it's going to keep going, or what's your plan? This is your serial song?
Yeah, I'm going to maybe whatever I do from now on, the two elements of it that are going to be persistent is that A, it'll all be under the rubric of Come On Get It. It'll all be under as an extension of that project. And it'll also, almost all of it, I think, will be collaborative in some way. So I'm working on like an opera libretto and doing collaborations with artists and stuff. And in my mind, that's all part of the next iterations of Come On Get It. It'll just be shared like that.
You know? That's cool. So. A couple more things I want to refer to in these poems, at least. One line that jumped out at me was, and I think this is could be a political statement indeed, is just be making something all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that version of it, maybe I've edited it a bit, but it's just be making something all the time with somebody.
With somebody. That's and, the corollary.
And I think that what we are making all the time is the space that we share. And so, obviously, there's a deep, you know, sort of ethical dimension that has to emerge immediately when we try to attend to the nature of that making, you know. And so that holds for us all of the weight and all of the history that we would talk about maybe under the rubric of the political, or maybe in a more precise way under the rubric of the social. So we have to not only be making something with somebody all the time, but we have to think hard about how to do that in a non-brutal, non-genocidal, non-geocidal way. Right. So, right. You know, an art is part of that, And it can be part of that for good, and it can also be part of that for ill. But that's the general project.
Right. You know? The thing that came out in the Durham section of Come On, Get It, for me, and you did say this pretty explicitly as well, is you referred to placelessness. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very effective strategy, designating oneself as being a placeless being mm-hmm. has advantages, because otherwise you might get placed somewhere you don't want to be, kind of mm-hmm. a thing.
Well, certainly, you know, I write within the context of a tradition of Black art and a tradition of Black thought, and within the context of the new world, you know, so to speak, in the aftermath of the slave trade and both the transatlantic slave trade as well as the internal slave trades of both America and Africa. Mm-hmm. And in the aftermath and in the wake of settler colonialism, you know, the history of Black folks is a history of displacement. And it's brutal and vicious and murderous and again, genocidal. And yet, this displacement is not something that nowadays I think we can afford to disavow, because I feel like the assignment of a place, the assertion of ownership over place, is got the world in a is place is puts the earth in grave danger. Wow. Certainly puts our capacity, you know, to live on the earth in grave danger. So on the one hand, we bear the terrible history of displacement. And on the other hand, we have to engage in trying to elaborate the ethics and the aesthetics of placelessness in the interest of saving the earth.
And find a way to use that, you know, fact or reality for...
It's crazy, man. It's not even a question of using it. It's a more terrible thing than that. It's not about trying to use it. It's consenting to being used by that, which to consent to be used by that is a horrific thing for the descendants of slaves to have to do. See, because we understand the history of being used, of being submitted to someone else's enjoyment. And we understand that within the context of a radical absence of the capacity to consent to anything. And yet, the ethical challenge is to consent to being used in this way. It's totally unfair. Like, why would we ever have to bear that burden? But that's the project, to me. Right. Well, and it means that one wants to both attend to the almost indescribable beauty of that project and the ethical comportments that it bears without ever denying the equally indescribable terror and horror of that history. So, and you know, I mean, and that's what the music bears, you know, that's, you hear that, to me, I hear it in James Brown or in Billie Holiday, or, you know, there's like that great poem, little paragraph Baraka wrote about Billie Holiday called The Dark Lady of the Sonnets, in which he talks about her sound or her voice as a kind of dark landscape of need. And that's what we're talking about too. And yet, how is it that such pleasure can emerge from a dark landscape of need? And we have to acknowledge both the utter and the absolute exaltation of the pleasure. How do those two things go together? You know, that's the mystery. That's what we're trying to study, and that's what we're trying to extend, you know. So,
you are in tune to Poet Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. My guest on this edition of the show is Fred Moten.
Do you think that all you can say of cinema's extravagance of the image is somehow compatible with some fullness of the Black subject? What if your movement through the image cuts the very idea of the individual as well? Your genius shows the tangle, the common roots of the visual and the visual, but that's what they refuse in Gila Tau. They have Sine too, but they keep giving it away. They're like a burning shepherd when their children hold the boom. When will our children hold the boom again? What is the visual? An anti-sensual seeing and separation and of it. Then the visual regulates the senses so that that false assumption is confirmed. Can intoned haptic looking give looking back in black on black and folding, refusing the visual and the visual in goodbye? Seeing's blind if it can't hear. Blur and blue and of it, a shattering spin inside, a curse or curve. Cuvée that animates before the beginning and after hours, eradicating the taint of purity from would have been outside. Feel that? Funk not only moves, it can remove, dig, dive. Maybe that's all life is anyway, that dance, that open need of chance. I mean, Chili says there is no time travel because he's been there. Mom and them weren't there no more, he says. He says they left an open door, and then it's down to the direction. A fit between come for me, please come, he says. Who dead? Well, look how the dead get down. Come on down, we say, as Rankin says, we say, so every shade can underhear what Hayden says. The austere, unlonely office of the homeless is hospitality. Sunday morning, early, coffeeless, orangeless, winter lit up like Ra's late peignoir worn till sundown. Gotta learn to see through things. Gotta learn to love being seen through. There are appearances, lenses, not like open caskets through American pictures, but what, in turning from the elusive, delusional density of that thing, let lovers get down in the environment. The work is vestibular in its disappearance. When disappearance ain't just vanishing, but radical indivisibility that opposes, in radical presence, the merely apparent. Disapparent, radical presence is disappearance. It's like some lotion made of valyrical steel or valyrian olive. But if the art world is just a formal conspiracy to make sure that the nothing that is seen through is displaced by things that can only be seen when they're the only things to see, then what is it to see through a radical presence is obscured by desire for the monument, the mirror of the dead, which, with sound logic and absent morals, identifies inapparent instrumentality as a degraded antagonist. No, man, the work is a disappearing passage to the socio-archaeological plane through white, vampiric omnicide, one by one. So imagine an echo-musicological museology to anarrange the scene you set and are and see. Feld's field, Baldwin's scene, individual, undervisual, felt. Why destroy a Schultz when you can destroy a Rembrandt? I used to know all these people who knew how to see through shit, but then I found myself here. Man is a singularity one all but can't help but believe in, but all can do it easy. Art is stoically sub-historical. On the other hand, neoliberalism is a concerted attempt to obscure the essential, essentially exclusionary relation of identity and politics, which is better known as liberalism. It's ashamed of where it comes from, a cold city on a dry marsh. Lots of loose talk about hills and light, but here we come, the wet recrudescence of the marsh, the much more plus less than malarial denizens of Le Marais, an anti-aristocratic swarm. Unenlightened, carcerally unfree to use politics as a weapon against murderers and their intentions, our primary target is politics. This straight ahead straight obscures us till disaggregate and sneaky clear, freely constrained to use identity against the zombies who invented it. Identity is our end. This paradox lets us find ourselves. I'm so and so, I'm this, I'm that, huh? But we all just whack. We act like little pullets, lost in the pitter-patter of our little old blank-ass bullets, meddling middle-brow bullets with our trifling, tweedledum Twitter bitterness, our semi-professional nastiness, our raggedy-ass, new spastic liberality. We try to protect ourselves from them and forget to protect us from ourselves. Why is there something rather than nothing? so devils can steal it. Does art move against our terrible capacity to settle? Or does it settle where we move? Violence is all it should be, nothing but beauty. And we say that softly in the violent air. The hole in what we see through can't be stolen. Ain't my stole, but what we share. World is a picture. A point of view is picture's possibility. If one can occupy that point of view and take that picture, then one can be pictured too. This reflective picturing of space-time is Newton's physics and Kant's metaphysics doing the nasty. Unmoved without moving, or just not moving all that good. Meanwhile, here's Chlorginda for Gail Jones. For Gail Jones. Does Corregidora come correct, or is she a thing to be corrected? Can she bear correction? Must she bear correction? Is her bearing alive? Can she bear, as Alex might say, that arsenic inability to bear the music we bear? We got an ear for unbearable detail, as Alex might say. Can't stop. Won't stop when we get enough. Can't call it. Can't claim it. Ain't mine. Sing it. Can't say it. Run till that degenerate sound. Defective gore and cold flow barren. Unborn, baby. Mama. Come on. Can't come, son. Won't come. It's a cold, cold coming. It's like ice around my heart. I know I'm gonna quit somebody. Every time this feeling starts, we done made us some connections. Done made us some corrections. We cut your hard and lonely will off. We wound your death and play that back as more than just not you. This you? Nah, this not just you, my beautiful sister. Black is so much more than just not you, it hurts. Give me more, I want it, I like it. Party on fire, then I'm gone. Nothing to correct, because it's all connected. Slave song ain't properly oppositional because it ain't properly autobiographical. All it tells is nobody's story, assuming the apposition generation after impossible generation. As disguise coolly reveals itself, the concealment of identity misunderstood in the disavowal and placement of appearance, covered in a kind of uncovering, the mutual orbit of concealment and unconcealment, confinement and revelation, hiding and showing, uniform and monstrosity, bad habit, strange habit, off inhabitation. Non-recognition was the world burning. The ice cap started melting in the hold. Anti-blackness ain't personal, but is it experienced personally? Is such experience real or true? Nah, it's way more fucked up than the real thing. Ain't nothing like that, as Aretha say they say. Beautifully nothing like Marvin and Tammy say they say. Works of art are to be seen, but art only works if it's seen through till it's gone. Hey, 19.5, Nora, we ain't got nothing in common. No, we can't talk at all. But when we slide on down, our queerness, our hard, gym-like, quadrophenic black bitchiness, our nothingness is our opacity, our opulent transience, our opalescent train. To be seen through can't help but move. We can't help it. That's all we do. Fix broken hearts by quilting flesh and earth, handy, unmanned, whispering, bending steady, rocking steady, everybody steady rocking till everybody gone. It's like a book of gauze for which cinema prepares us. But we don't return to the book. We turn through the book's disappearance. The dance of the turn and fold bears cut and tear, which ain't about rendering things transparent, but enacting the lucence through which we see no things. We see through things. A book of glass, a black stained color wheel, and violet sash, an abreactive brush and broken, turning, anti-redactive loosening of leaves. They gone. That's what it feels like. That's what we feel now. Let's call this song exactly what it is. A Rana, Aretha Ray, and looked off shutter, view off point and vibe with shook, wandering, and determinate treme delirium, studious and ain't studying you nonchalantly, breathing a little subtle-ass, unsettling distance, and then some, an inseparable beauty even art can't take. All that. Regarding this disregard, black art is criticism in the afternoon. So, one more. Nathaniel Mack, come from some of everywhere. Somewhere so deep that some of everywhere come with you. To become for our occult beginnings worldly in that other way. Garnet burned in sand and long green shade belonging in our garden. Our feeling for the game was secret. Harriet is our conductor and our unfinished readiness for the world. Occult and separate mixture. That long revealed weave is come undone as our unfinished readiness. The messed up plan of someone else's dance. The celibate screen been an open window. You move the whole question from room to room, echo chamber. Our always ready, unofficial word.
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC.